Thank you, Zach, for leading this morning. And also omitted to welcome back Andy and Nathan from their journeys in PNG. Good to have you back safely with us. And also to Alan and Yvonne. I know you've been here once when I was away, but welcome back amongst us after your long-distance travels as well. We've been looking for some time at the gospel presentation called Two Ways to Live. And it's this little booklet that we've been working our way through, which looks at the gospel and the presentation in six different aspects of it. And there's some drawings that go with that. And if you've already received one of these, you would have seen that. And if you've been here over the last numerous weeks, you would have been with us on that journey as well. And inside this booklet, it gives the one page for each little box of the drawing, and it gives a summary version of it on the left-hand side, and then a more expansive version on the right-hand side, and then the drawings there that go with that. And so as we've been working our way through, we've been looking at what the gospel is and how that we might share that with others. And this is just one way of being able to share the gospel good news, that is powerful good news of God to us people in this universe, on this earth. But sometimes it's difficult to know how to share that good news, isn't it? And we've looked at this, how it's good to have a good grasp of what the gospel is, so that we can have that in our minds to be able to share it and to understand where we're going with it. And so that's why we've been trying to understand that a little bit clearer as we've been working through. So I'm just recapping a little bit this morning, because we're up to the last of the six boxes in our journey. And if you haven't received one of these, there's still some available at the back of the church afterwards if you'd like to get one of those as well. So let's pray as we look at this morning. Our Father, we thank you that we can just come here and share this morning and be a part of your people. Together come to acknowledge you, worship you, and to discover what your word says to us. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for what it says. Sometimes it is difficult to be able to summarise it in a way which is meaningful to others who have no idea. And so, Lord, we pray that some of these things we've been talking about will be helpful to help to clarify and to make more concrete in our minds the truths of salvation and of the gospel. And so we just commit our time of focus upon you this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. And so there's six boxes, and the first box is the one about God being creator. And as you see by the little drawing on the right-hand side there, there's a crown which is depicting God, because we don't know what God looks like, so we draw him as a crown because he is the king of the universe. He rules his world. And then there is a circle which represents the earth. And then there is a little person on top of the earth which represents the fact that God has given humanity the responsibility of ruling over his world under his authority. And so the first box tells us that God is the loving ruler of the world. He created the universe and everything in it. He just spoke the world into existence. He also made us as humans on this world through Adam and Eve, to live in the world under his authority and to be in a perfect relationship with him and to rule over the world he created. And Revelation 4:11 is the key verse that we use there. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and have their being. And so God is worthy of worship and accolades because he made everything. It's his world and we are his subjects under him. And when he made Adam and Eve, he made them perfect, and they lived in a perfect relationship with God to start with, and everything went extremely well and wonderful, and a blessed relationship between creator and created. But is that the way it is now? And that's where we lead on to the second box, which tells us that that's not the way our world is now, because, and the problem is that we all reject the rule of God, indicated by the little cross through the crown in the drawing, and then the person is standing away from the earth underneath the crown representing God and has a little crown above their head, which tells us that we are trying to rule our own lives and to be the king of our own lives. But the reality is that we make a mess of our own situations, our own lives, and we make a mess of our society, and corporately we make a mess of our world. And so we find the world in which it's in now messed up in many different ways because sin came into the world. And we fail to rule ourselves or our society and our world. And sin came in through Adam and Eve, as we know the story, that they disobeyed God, rebelled against him, and so since then we have all been rebels against God. We're born that way. And Romans 3:10-12 reminds us of that. It says, there is none righteous, there is no one who seeks after God, for all have turned astray, all have gone their own way. In verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so the question is, what will God do about it? And that moves us on to the third box, which tells us that God won't let us rebel forever. God's punishment for rebellion is death and judgment. God cares enough about humanity to take our rebellion seriously. He doesn't just wipe us off in a sense and walk away from his creation. No, he takes that seriously, the rebellion that we have against him. And God's justice demands a penalty for sin and a rebellion, and that rebellion against him. And that due penalty is death and judgment. Hebrews 9:27 is appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. And so we see there in that picture the crown representing God, and under that is the little man lying on his back because death came into the world, and death through sin. And so that paints a dismal picture for us. And is that all there is? Is that the end of the story? Well, as we've talked about, we know that that's not the end of the story because God's love is so great towards us. God has done something about this great dilemma of sin in the world. Because of his great love and compassion, God did not leave us to suffer the consequences of our foolish rebellion. He did something to save us. And because of his love, God sent his son into the world, the man, Jesus Christ. He sent his own divine son to become a man and to live a perfect life. And Jesus, when he lived on earth, always lived under God's rule. He always obeyed his father's commands. And he said at one time, I do only those things which please the Father. So he lived a perfect life, and yet by dying in our place, he took our punishment and brought forgiveness. Jesus died as a substitute for rebels like us. The debt that we owed to God, Jesus paid by dying in our place upon the cross. 1 Peter 3:18 is the verse that we use there. For Christ died once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. And so we see this good news that God has done something about the dilemma that we find ourselves in. He sent his son, Jesus. But that's not all there is. Oh, before we go there, just noticing the little drawing there, we have a J alongside the person standing on the earth representing Jesus as the perfect man who lived a perfect life. His arms are outstretched, not down by his side, depicting the fact that he hung upon the cross for our sins. But that's not all there is, because God raised Jesus to life again. Not only did he die in our place for our sins, but he's raised from the dead after 3 days, conquering death and hell forever. God raised Jesus to life again as the ruler of the world. He gave him rulership over the world. And so we see now in the picture that we have the J in the crown representing Jesus as the ruler over the earth, given the responsibility under his Father's command. God accepted Jesus' death as payment in full for our sins, God the Father was totally satisfied with the death of his Son as payment for our sins. And after 3 days, God raised him from the dead, a demonstration of his power over death. And the risen Jesus is now what humanity was always meant to be, God's ruler of the world. And so Jesus has conquered death. He now gives new life and will return as judge. As God's ruler, Jesus has also been appointed God's judge of the world. Acts 17 reminds us of that. And 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 is the verse that we use. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so his death and his resurrection go hand in hand. He died for our sins, but he rose again from the dead to give new life. Well, where does that leave us now? It leaves us with the choice of only two ways to live, which takes us to the last and the sixth box in this gospel plan presentation. Leaves us with two ways, our way or God's way, God's new way. We can continue in our rebellion against God. We can try to run life our own way without him. And sadly, this is the option that many people persist in. And the end result is that God gives us what we deserve and ask for. He condemns us for our rejection of his rightful rule over our lives. We not only have to put up with the messy consequences of rejecting God here and now, but we face the dreadful prospect of an eternity of separation from him, without life, without love, without relationship. And so we can choose that way. It's our way. We can continue our rebellion against God. Or we can choose God's way, God's new way, submit to Jesus as our ruler, trust in his death and his resurrection. And the result is that we can be forgiven by God and we are the recipients of eternal life. When we've realised our own situation is hopeless, there is a lifeline. If we turn back to God and appeal for mercy, trusting in his death, Jesus' death and resurrection, then everything changes. For a start, God wipes the slate clean. He accepts Jesus' death as payment for our sins and freely and completely forgives us. He gives us his own spirit and grants us new life that stretches past death into life forever. We're no longer rebels, but part of God's own family as his adopted sons and daughters. We now live with Jesus as our ruler and master in our lives. And the key verse for this last box is John 3:36. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, but he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. John 3:36. And so the two ways to live could not be more different, and they present you with some choices. The first question you must ask yourself is, which way do I want to live? If you know that you're a rebel against God and want to turn from that and live God's new way, well, the next obvious question is, what can I do about it? And that's where we can continue on to talk about three things that are important. Firstly, talk to God. Admit to him that you have rebelled against him, that you deserve punishment, and that you're asking for mercy on the basis of Jesus' death in your place, and that you want to trust in Jesus to be the ruler of your life. And so you could pray a prayer like this. Dear God, I know that I am not worthy to be accepted by you. I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I am guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I need your forgiveness. Thank you for sending your Son to die for me that I may be forgiven. Thank you that he rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me that I may live with Jesus as my ruler. Amen. So we need to talk to God. Secondly, we need to submit to Jesus. Having prayed a prayer like that, you will want to start allowing Jesus to be the ruler in the different areas of your life. Where you have been ruling your own life with greed and envy and anger and selfishness, you'll want to let Jesus change your desires so that they are replaced with those things that please him, like generosity and kindness and love and patience. This step of submitting to Jesus will go on for the rest of your life. God will speak to you as you read the Bible. He'll keep listening to you and helping you as you pray to him. He'll empower you to change and to live his way by his Spirit who lives within you. And he provides a spiritual family to help you along the way, other Christians who are on the journey with you. And so we need to talk to God, and then we need to submit to Jesus as the ruler of our lives. And the third thing is we need to keep trusting Jesus. You need to keep putting your trust in the right place. It's only because of Jesus and his death and resurrection that you can be forgiven and be put right with God. And you'll need to keep coming back to that place time and again. Because as you start to live God's new way, you will still fail and you do wrong things. We all do. And so we all need to keep looking back to the death of Jesus on the cross as the only grounds for our pardon. We must never stop relying on him and him alone as the means by which forgiveness and new life are granted. And so the Christian life is a journey of trusting Jesus each step of the way, in every decision, and not trusting ourselves. And so that is the journey of the gospel. That is the way that we can talk about the gospel to others. Seems lengthy when we spin it out over 6 weeks of discussion, but there is the very simple way of trying to explain that to a person. And this little booklet gives you that way of verbalizing it, but also the capacity to draw those drawings in a way which can help you explain it to somebody as well. And so that gives you a second option of being able to share the gospel by explaining it through that means. And I've used that numerous times to explain the gospel to people, and being able to draw it as well as speak it helps to relieve the focus from the direct confrontation between you and the other person and allow you to focus on the piece of paper which you are doing the drawing on, and just allows you to explain it as you are going through those drawings. We're going to close now in prayer, but I trust that that might be helpful to you as something that you might be able to use in your life and with people you might come into contact with who are open to having the gospel shared with them. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the reality of the gospel. It's a powerful gospel because it's about Jesus, your Son. It's about your plan for the world. It's about your desire to restore fallen humanity, sinful humanity, back to a place of relationship with yourself. And we thank you that only through Jesus that can take place. As Jesus reminded us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so, Lord, we know that there's no other way to be restored to you. There's no other way to escape eternal death and judgment. And so we thank you that you have made it possible for us to find forgiveness and life everlasting. And Lord, I pray that you help us in our discussions with others, and as you provide opportunities with other people to give understanding of that gospel message. Pray that you'll help that clarity to be in our hearts and minds so that we can share that message clearly with people so that they can understand. That your Holy Spirit can take that message of those words and bring challenge and conviction in people's hearts who need it. So Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for our time that we can spend discussing these things together and understanding them better. And we commit our lives to you and a week to you that you might go before us and open the way for opportunities to serve you and to be witnesses for you. In your name we pray. Amen.